Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Join us today as we begin part two of our discussion entitled, Using Technology Wisely in Your Home.
Yes.
So we're in the middle of a new series. Mm-hmm. And what are we talking about here?
Techno stuff, technology.
And we've titled this Using Technology Wisely in Our Homes. And mm-hmm. if you're tuning in for the first time, you probably ought to back up to last week's
yes.
and get part one. Because in part mm-hmm. one, we threw three keywords out. The keyword mm-hmm. was better,
balanced, and best.
And best. We're not against technology. We believe in technology. We're thankful for technology. It's a tool that must be wisely used and constantly monitored. Otherwise, yes. we misuse it, we abuse uh-huh. it, or it misuses and abuses us.
Right.
And so right. we want to be our very best for the Lord, for God. We want to be balanced in our approach. And so we went through several teachings about technology, how to know when it's in its proper place or when it's mm-hmm. out of its place.
And we're getting most of this information from this book.
Yes, that's correct.
Here.
We mm-hmm. read The Tech Wise Family by Andy Crouch.
Yes.
And we are actually listening to, what does she call her book?
My Tech Wise Life.
My Tech Wise Life from his daughter, Amy yes. Crouch, I think uh-huh. is her name.
Yes.
And we would recommend highly both of these. These are the two books that got us thinking about, you know what, we need to work on some technology in our own homes.
Yes, in our own lives.
Mm-hmm. And probably if we do, others do as well. So we thought we would just share some things that really God's teaching us.
Right.
And
right.
We've always tried to be careful about technology. I mean, Beth and I both, you know, we grew up in the generation where technology's always been around.
Yes. Oh, yes.
We'll even talk some here about how technology in days gone by showed up in like tools.
Right.
Technology was a new tool that made a job easier, but typically mm-hmm. they stayed in their place.
Right.
So you used a hammer and you left it. You don't right. bring the hammer home with you.
Right.
The difference in technology today is that you don't use it and then leave it at work. You bring it home with you.
It goes to your room with you.
You don't leave it in the garage. You take it to dinner with you.
Yes.
And many times the technology today sits on the table with us. It's mm-hmm. in our pocket.
Right.
And one of the things the author said in this book, The Tech Wise Family, is that technology is even now in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And it's a very high percentage. I think he gave us a statistic from 2004 in which blood samples in 2004, it mm-hmm. was as much as 70%+ of people. In fact, did I put that in the notes? Because it's a very high.
I don't know.
It was a very high. Yeah, it was 93%. Of urine samples showed BPA in the blood. That's from plastics. 93% of those who gave samples had plastics in their body. And it just tells us.
I'm just making a face. Y'all can't see it.
She is making a really weird face. Meh. Apparently she overlooked that stat. In preparing for this.
Don't like that at all.
That's pretty funny. Mm. But this should be a video call if you're going to make faces like that. So here's the whole point. The whole point is that technology today is a whole new ballgame.
Yes.
Our parents and grandparents can't, in a sense, help us handle all of this because this is new.
Mm.
This is two generations
right.
new. Go back three generations and they... This is not even on their radar.
Oh, my mom said to me, she said to me many times, she would say, I am so glad I did not have to put up with cell phones when you guys were growing up in this home. And I totally get
Absolutely.
What she was saying.
And with kids and how we have to, it's one of the major things we have to always have to deal with.
Yes.
Over
always,
and over
always
and over.
Have to be monitoring and then pulling back on.
Mom, and yes. dads, I'm telling you that if you're not monitoring, if you are not actively engaged in trying to teach your children to use technology wisely,
right.
then they will abuse it, they yes. will misuse it, mm-hmm. and it will be damaging and hurtful to your young people. So
yes.
we're talking about technology,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to say it again. We're not against technology. We believe it has to be wisely used and continually monitored.
Right.
And
we're
that's
using
what we're
it
talking
right
about.
Now.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
And so here's where we ended last time. We ended with a statistic that 78% of families believe it is more challenging to raise kids mm-hmm. today than it was in previous generations. Mm-hmm. And when the question is, why is it more challenging today? What's the answer always at the top of the list?
Technology.
It's technology.
Yes.
And so here's something we learned from this book we were reading, and the author said, there's several things we need to help us with this. And the first thing the author talked about was just, it was so good because it made sense to me. He said, right. We need nudges.
Yes.
And that's...
need a little nudge.
Not in the fudge, right direction. But nudge.
I could probably use a little fudge,
well,
too.
Yeah, you probably could. But nudges here, not fudges.
Right.
And here's how he defined a nudge. And he actually was referring to a book that was written about the nudge.
Hmm.
And the book actually explained a nudge as a small change in the environment around us that makes it easier for us to make the choice we want to make or that we want others to stop making. And the author went on to say that nudges don't make us do anything. They just make certain choices easier and more likely, and that nudges are important because our supply of willpower, that is the ability to make hard decisions that go against instincts or preferences, that supply of willpower is limited.
So what you're saying is a nudge would be not making the chocolate and peanut butter fudge because we don't need that to add to our waistline. So the nudge would be don't make it, don't have it in the house, therefore you won't eat it.
Right, because if the fudge is on the table, there's a pretty good chance that we're going to nibble at it.
Yes.
Because the fudge being there is a nudge. The fudge is a nudge that says, take a bite of me, try me, check this out,
but
look at me.
But the fudge not being there is a nudge to eat correctly and not add to our waistline.
Don't think this through too far.
I'm trying to wrap my brain around nudges.
Here's what we learned from the authors. He was talking about this book on nudges. Mm-hmm. He said that nudges are popular, and especially like in things like buffet lines. And buffets are kind of falling out of favor right now with
the pandemic
that we've been through in the recent months.
Yes,
but buffet lines are famous for putting the cheaper things in a more prominent position. Salad bars, for instance, are first in hopes that it's a nudge. The salad is cheaper than the prime rib, so put the prime rib last because you fill your plate up. The nudge is, here's the salad, mm-hmm. take me, look at me.
Our boys, they never get that nudge at the buffet.
They always go for the meat.
Yes,
they go the wrong direction. So they don't always work. There's nudges in grocery stores, and if you have little children, you certainly know this.
Yes, everything that your child will ask for is at their eye level.
Yeah, they'll put it at their eye level, the candy bar.
Yeah.
And all of the things
the
right
sugar,
there,
cereal.
Right there as they're going through the checkout line.
Although it's not at your eye level, and I notice that you can find Cinnamon Toast Crunch pretty easily.
Yes, I can. It's of the Lord. So nudges are popular. And the author even said moms are good at nudging.
Hmm.
And that many times, one of the things the author said was that his wife doesn't demand the kids eat salad, but it's always on the table. She always puts a salad on the table. And you know, I was thinking about that when he said that, because I know you'll put a salad on the table and it's not our Jacob's first choice.
Right.
But sometimes he'll say, you know what, I'm going to try a tomato again to see if I can like one. How many times has he said that?
I don't know. But he does like salad without tomatoes.
I'm going to try another tomato and he'll cut a piece of a tomato and try it. I'm going to try it again.
Right.
And apparently he's not developing a taste for it because he's been doing this for a long time. But that little nudge is there.
Yes.
And speaking of nudges,
if the salad is too close to Charity's place, she nudges it to the other side of the table.
Yes. And knowing how much that it disgusts her brother is somewhat famous in the family for gently nudging it over closer to her to see how close he can get it before she reacts. And so nudges are popular. And really the reason we're talking about nudges is because technology has mastered the art of the nudge.
Oh my, yes.
And that's why I was talking to our kids about this. And I said, when you think about nudges, how hard is it if you're at the table and you hear your phone buzz or ding?
Yep.
And it's a notification on your phone. What do you automate? No matter what you're talking about, no matter how wonderful the meal is, if your phone vibrates, if your phone buzzes, if your phone makes a little ding of some sort,
right?
Technology has mastered the art of the nudge.
It's got our attention right away.
We will go to that nudge almost every time, no matter what is happening at the table,
right?
Or what is happening in the immediate vicinity, that nudge takes over.
And we can justify it. We can, I know when you're out of town and it's just the children and I sitting at the table, we still have the no phones at the table rule. But if my phone dings or buzzes, I will say, oh, that's probably Dad. And I'll go get it.
That's just an excuse. She's just using that as an excuse. I'm just letting y'all know. And that's why on my phone, I put a ringtone that is just my wife's. And that helps me with that. So you need a really good one for me. What do you think you're going to put?
I don't know. We'll have to talk about that privately.
Privately. Yeah, one of those. We also have, I even have a ringtone that is unique to my children. So there's one that I get. And if my wife hears it, she's like, oh, that's one of the children.
Right.
That's true. So I will, if I'm with a pastor and my phone, if it makes that noise, I'll wait for an opportune time, but I'll say to a pastor, hey, that message is my children. Do you mind if I check that for a moment?
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
So I always will then ask the child, or if it's yours, when yours goes off, I'll say to a pastor, hey, can I interrupt you a moment? Because that notification was from my wife, and let me just see if that's important.
Right.
And you know, I can tell, sometimes I can just glance at it for a moment and go, oh no, it's just a connection. It's not a,
right.
And go back to the conversation. Not but sometimes, you know,
important.
In other words, my phone can nudge me towards my family, which is important to me.
Right.
And so it does have a place. It's a part of it.
Right.
And then here's even a few more that we practice, some nudges in our home.
Mm.
And this is regard to our TV.
Yes.
My wife wanted the TV in a cabinet behind closed doors.
Right.
That's just a nudge not to watch TV.
Right.
We don't leave the remotes out.
It's also more aesthetically pleasing.
It's aesthetically pleasing. And the remotes are put away.
Yes.
Which is neat.
Yes.
Is that what we do this for?
Yes.
Here I am trying to find technological reasons for it, and it's just a matter of being neat.
But it also is a nudge to find something else to do.
Sure.
Read a book.
And if you're across the room and you know that I've got to get up and in our home to watch television, number one, you have to get permission.
Yes.
Number two, you have to turn on the power strip.
Yes.
Number three, you have to open the cabinet doors. And then you got to go find the remote.
Yes.
And so there's all these little nudges that it stops us from just automatically
just defaulting. Picking up and scrolling.
And we're not saying that you have to do any of this. But what I'm saying is that moms and dads, as you're listening, and even you single folks.
Yes.
Just because you don't have children doesn't mean you shouldn't be wise about technology.
Mm.
And it's so easy to think, you know, I worked 12 hours a day. I worked 5 hours a day, and I deserve to veg.
Just to scroll.
But if you veg 5 hours every day, three hours every night, do you realize you just wasted 21 hours in a 7-day week?
Oh, my. Oh
and my. And that's almost 100 hours in a month. And what could we do with 100 hours? Who could we invest in? If we poured 100 hours into a person as opposed to vegging in things that don't matter on our phones, 100 hours, you could finish a class.
Or if you are tired, you know, reading a book. Reading a book is...
You could sleep.
Yes. But reading a book, I mean, it engages your mind, but it also relaxes your body, and you can learn all kinds of things. Or you can, if you need to, quote, escape, you can read fiction and still better yourself.
Yeah. Or you can exercise. That's an escape.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's tons of things you can do that will further your life and make things more valuable than allowing technology to just nudge you to that which is useless and meaningless.
True.
You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was the beginning of our episode entitled Using Technology Wisely in Your Home, Part 2. Join us next time as we continue this conversation.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.